third reading is from the Gospel of St. John, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, "Now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." Alleluia! Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Jesus sends to us his Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, whom he calls the Paraclete, that rich title which means Helper, Advocate, Encourager, and Comforter. And though Jesus doesn't formally give him this title, it is clear also that the Holy Spirit is a preacher. Jesus says that he will guide you into all the truth. How? By speaking, not on his own authority, but speaking whatever he hears and declaring it to you. He will glorify me, Jesus says. He will glorify Jesus because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. But what indeed is true Spirit-filled preaching? How do you know if you are hearing it? How do you know if you are receiving it? Well, Jesus tells us very plainly in today's gospel. He says that this Holy Spirit is going to convict the world of three things: of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Now, convict. I don't know, that doesn't sound very much like comfort or encouragement. Advocacy. Much less if the things that he is convicting us of are sin and judgment. Now, I've heard a number of you in our congregation tell me about a kind of preaching you have heard that really bothers you. You've all put it in your own ways, but it's something like this. It's that the preachers are always telling us that we are worthless, telling me that I can do nothing right, that we are just a bunch of hopeless, poor, miserable sinners. I think I know what you mean. It is possible to beat up on people from a position of authority. It's easy to get up and to deliver a harangue instead of a sermon. And the pulpit can let people say things that they'd be too afraid to say to someone one-on-one, face-to-face, and end up saying things that maybe they shouldn't even say at all. But dear friends, and I mean that, dear friends, I also think that I know what your preachers in the past and the present were trying to say and trying to do. Because Jesus tells us today that the first work of the Holy Spirit, his comforter, that perfect preacher, his first work is to convict the world of sin because they do not believe. It is the work of the Holy Spirit of God to come and to tell us something that we neither fully recognize nor even want to consider. My sin. And when a preacher gets up into the pulpit and starts firing blows that seem to hit you square between the eyes, and you start to get red in the face and you want to run out the door and slam it shut, be very, very careful. Consider instead whether or not you are using that preacher as your excuse to reject the Spirit's convicting words. As Jesus has sent His Word and His Spirit with it for the very purpose to set us straight and to lead people who can't bear it into the truth. So you've heard it said to you, maybe, that you are a poor, miserable, rotten sinner, that you aren't good. Maybe you've heard it said that God doesn't love you and that you deserve hell. And that has made you mad. You don't believe that. You want to hear instead about the many good things that you have done, or the many good things that you still can do. You want to hear that God loves you just the way you are. Just as you are. For who you are. Now, those are the sort of statements, though, that make every preacher you've ever heard nervous. The Word of God will not be bound. The world may not believe. But the Holy Spirit must come and convict it of sin, even if it will refuse to believe it. And that is what has made your preachers preach what they have to you. Now, maybe they did a poor job. Maybe they ranted and they raved at you instead of convincing and convicting you. That is possible. Or maybe you wondered the whole time and got distracted at why they were yelling at you when they themselves had many sins of their own. Maybe even the very ones they were talking about. Well, I assure you that your preachers, every one of them, including me, we were and we still are sinners. And we have known it. They did not preach to you from a high horse. They did not set out to accuse you of many sins as if they had none, and that's why they could say it. No. Indeed, if your preachers have had any wisdom, any eloquence, any skill at all at nailing you between your eyes, it was likely because they knew just how well the Spirit of truth had exposed and convicted them first by that law of God. And the point is this: we, you and I, need to receive this Word of God and this work of the Holy Spirit. We need to be convicted of our sin, which is rooted, as Jesus says, in the most dangerous and persistent unbelief in the whole world. Now, when I bristle against all those phrases, all of those various ways of accusing me of being a poor, miserable sinner, that is my unbelief making itself heard. That is my old Adam sealing himself up in a missile silo, plugging his ears, kicking, screaming against the Holy Spirit. I don't want to admit that I deserve hell. I want to carve out an area, no matter how small it is, a little piece where I am still basically a good man. I am worthy of praise. I am free of your criticism. I am, in a word, righteous. And that word righteous is the subject of the Holy Spirit's second conviction. And it's connected to the first one, sin. Because the key question is, where is righteousness found? Where is it really to be found? Our old Adams, our natural, sinful, corrupted natures, they want to find righteousness right in here, right in ourselves. That's why my flesh hates so much to be convicted of anything. Hates to hear somebody talk about my sin, whether they're doing it directly or indirectly. Now, there are thousands of churches that preach what my Adamic self wants to hear. There are many churches that preach and plaster on their signs that God welcomes me for who I am. He loves me for who I am. He recognizes me. He affirms me. He never judges, never convicts me of anything. And if you want to find the best place for this kind of preaching, I advise you actually not to go to any church at all. But even so, nothing can give our sin the pious window dressing that it needs like religion can do. So it is that just as atheists can't resist invoking God whenever they want to damn something, so it is that our old Adam invokes God to justify himself. I want to be in the right. I want to be right myself. Whether it's a traditional or a progressive church, whether it's a Protestant church or a Catholic church, there are plenty of churches that will find a way to get the message out to my itching ears, the one that I want to hear preached to me. That I can do what is in me and God will indulge that. That I am great, that I am awesome, that I am successful, that I am lovable just the way that I am. Lord, have mercy. Do you hear the audacity in those statements? I am. Don't you hear that that is God's holy Old Testament burning bush in Moses' name given to his people? The one that rises up and says, I am the Lord your God. And we dare to invoke it for ourselves in front of the mirror. The Holy Spirit must come. He must convict the world down to me and to you of that sin. Because I do not believe in Jesus. I believe in myself. And I even want to use Jesus as a way to believe even more in myself. If that would help. So thank God, dear saints, that your Lord has sent you faithful preachers who have been preaching to you, however clumsily they may have done it. They have been preaching to you that that whole way of thinking is wrong. That I am wrong. That you are wrong. We do, as it turns out, we do, we really do, come to church to be told that we are wrong. I can't deny it. And you know what? If you were not Christians, if I were not a Christian, you would, of course, never have endured that kind of abuse, that kind of, to use the biblical word, conviction. You would have followed your old Adam, your old sinful nature, right out the door to follow after and chase after your dreams, every dream that comes out of that unbelieving heart. I pray that you never have. I pray that you never do. Because the reason that the Holy Spirit comes to convict you and me of our sin and unbelief, that is, that we are not right or righteous, the reason he does this is that he might come and convince you of the righteousness of Jesus Christ instead. It is Jesus. It is his going to the Father, as he said, as the atoning sacrifice. That is what makes for righteousness. The forgiveness of sins declares sinners righteous. That is why the Holy Spirit must convict in these two ways, in order to lead you and me into all the truth, as Jesus says. That the Lord, who ought to hate you and send you to hell and me to hell, has forsaken his Son in your place. And he has received that hellish death as your substitute. God does not love you the way you are, for who you are. God loves you despite the way you are, for who Christ is. He loves you for Christ's sake alone. And the Holy Spirit is working that conviction also in the hearts of all believers by the Scriptures and by their preaching, in order to daily and to richly forgive sinners, to take what is Jesus's and deliver it to you. Now, if you don't know those Christian questions and their answers from the Catechism, I really think that you should. In fact, just knowing the first few is enough. Do you believe that you are a sinner? Yes, I believe it. I am a sinner. How do you know this? From the Ten Commandments, which I have not kept. And what have I deserved from God because of my sins? His wrath, his displeasure, his temporal death here, his eternal damnation forever. Do I hope to be saved? Yes. Yes, I do. Anyway, that is my hope. So in whom then do I trust? I trust in my dear Lord Jesus Christ. Who is Christ? He is the Son of God. He is true God and man. What has Christ done for me that I should trust in him? He died for me. He shed his blood for me on the cross for the forgiveness of sins, the ones that I have. How do I know this? From the Holy Gospel. From the words instituting the sacrament. And by the body and blood that are to be given to me all the time as a pledge in the sacrament. That is what the conviction of the Holy Spirit sounds like on the flip side, coming out of our mouths, dear saints. It's the conviction of the law and the gospel. And whenever we hear preaching, whenever we read the Holy Scriptures, we are to listen for and to expect this conviction. The conviction that is leading us away from our own righteousness. Yes, through rebukes, through corrections, exhortations, and even accusations that sting and hurt. But leading us at the very same time toward the true, sufficient, lasting righteousness of Jesus Christ in the forgiveness of our sins. Now, can this really be what sermons and church itself are about? Is this really what I should expect to find in God's Word whenever the Holy Spirit is living and active among us? Yes. Why then does it sting so much? Why does it feel like the devil will win. Why, when I go home even, I look at my life, I know that I've sat in these pews and heard this week after week, and yet I feel like unbelief is going to triumph. Well, that, dear saints, is precisely why our Lord sends His Holy Spirit to comfort us in a third conviction also. And this is the conviction that the ruler and prince of this world, he is the one who is judged. Now that's talking about Satan. That's right, Jesus says that the devil rules this world. And isn't that what you feel? He accuses God's saints day and night. He's no longer allowed up in heaven to accuse us before God's throne where Christ is advocating for us. So he is here to throw us back into our sins and to erase any conviction of a righteousness unless it's our own that won't cut it. So Jesus does battle with him here as well. He sends his Holy Spirit as an advocate, a comforter, a defense attorney even, to us with a continual promise that sin, that death, that hell, Satan, and even our own unbelief, all of them are defeated and they are judged. They are condemned. Those are the things that are going to perish eternally. Not you. Christ's righteousness is indeed enough, sufficient for poor, miserable sinners, like his preachers and like his hearers. And that means that the devil does not win. That means that what we see with our eyes, what we feel in our flesh, is not the truth. The devil and his days as a prince over us are numbered. The devil has to contend with Christians of such conviction as you and as me. Conviction who are willing to come and to have their sin and their unbelief constantly exposed so that it can be every bit as constantly absolved, taken away, comforted. And then Christians of such conviction who find comfort not in this world at all, but who find comfort in a simple and a joyful truth that we even shout back in Satan's face. And it's this one. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
Amen.
The peace of God which passes all understanding. Keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.